you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
We've seen it time and time and again, a courtroom scene. Someone is being charged with a crime. And the lawyers parade the witnesses in and out. Their very testimonies have the power to swing the pendulum of fate. The jury, they sit and they listen and they deliver a verdict. And then the judge slams down the gavel and declares a sentence. But what about you? Is the jury still out on you? Do you live this day in and day out existence though someone has handed you a guilty verdict? It feels like we live the good parts and the bad parts of our lives as though they're on a set of scales. And inevitably, the bad stuff, it always seems the heaviest. In John chapter 8, we find a woman that was literally dragged out of bed with the man that she was having an affair with. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, she was caught in the act. We know nothing about her past. We have no idea if this is a long-standing affair and she just really didn't feel bad about it anymore. Or maybe she had a cruel husband and she felt depressed, and all of a sudden here comes this man that just finds her fascinating. Regardless, the two of them, in a fit of passion, make this huge mistake. And she had no idea that she was going to be torn from that bed, thrown into public, probably naked, stumble upon the feet of Jesus, and her accusers want Jesus to judge her. Can you imagine the tape that was playing in her mind that day? Oh, what have I done? I can't believe I keep making the same mistakes. Look at these people judging me, mocking me. Gone too far. I have gone way too far for God to ever love a screw up like me. Those are real thoughts. And if I'm honest, there's been a good portion of my life where I felt like my soul has been in the courtroom. Not that I was thrown in front of a large crowd where all my sins lay naked for the whole world to see, but I know what I've done. I have dark secrets just like you. I have declared myself guilty. How does guilt manifest itself in everyday life? Have you ever been given a compliment but you just brush it off? Has anyone ever tried to break through that tough exterior to show you love, but your wall is so high there's just no way anyone can get through? And you find yourself yet again alone? Shame and guilt are powerful prisons. But it doesn't have to be that way. There is no jury declaring you guilty. Our innocence is found in Christ. The only sentence you have is found in Romans chapter 8 that says, "For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Those would be the words that would change this woman's life forever. But before she heard those words, she heard Jesus say as he looked at the crowd, "If any of you have never made a mistake, if you are perfect, go ahead and start throwing rocks." And Jesus looked at this woman and said, "Woman, where is your jury? Who's condemning you?" And the woman looked around and everybody was gone. And she looked at Jesus. She said, "No one. No one is condemning me." And then Jesus looked at the woman and said, "Well, I don't condemn you either. Go. Go and sin no more." Can you imagine the look on this woman's face when she realized her verdict? Not guilty. And we have been given the same verdict. Aren't you tired of beating yourself up over your past? When are you going to stop being judge and jury and even executioner of your own life? Because if you look in the jury box, no one is there. And if you go to the judge's bench, no one is swinging a gavel declaring your condemnation. And there's not going to be any surprise witnesses coming in at the last minute to bring up embarrassments from your past. You are free.
Verdict. You are free. You're free. You're free. What a powerful, powerful video that describes and depicts what it is that the Apostle Paul was writing in his letter to his friends at the Galatian churches. Would you turn with me in your Bible or turn on your Bible to Galatians chapter 2. Today we're going to wrap up these last few verses in Galatians 2, and we'll see what Paul is saying to this group of Christians, that what Jesus did on the cross, on your behalf, on my behalf, it gave us, it gave you, it gave me a verdict, and the verdict is you are free. Would you just say that with me? You are free. You're free. You're free from your past. You are free from your mistakes. You are free from your hurts, habits, and hang-ups. You're free from your sin. No, the verdict of freedom, it doesn't mean that the things that have happened to us or the things that we've done in our past don't still have some consequences going forward. I mean, we say this to our kids regularly: your choices have consequences, good consequences or not so good consequences. But your past does not have to define your future. You're free. It doesn't have to define your identity moving forward. It's been said that forgiveness is giving up all hope of ever having a better past. And because of what Jesus has done on the cross, man, you are free to step into the new life that he has given you in Christ. A whole new, a brand new identity. It's yours to receive, to live from this day forward, moving forward into not only the present, but the future. I'm telling you, when you say yes to Jesus, you receive a new identity from Christ that's found in Christ. And now you become a part of a new covenant community that includes all people all over the world, all races, all languages, all nationalities and ethnicities. When you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone for salvation. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about on the last few verses of Galatians chapter 2. We're going to look at Galatians 2 verses 15 to 21 this morning. Let's read it together and then we'll talk about what it means for our lives. I love, love, love these final verses in Galatians 2. Beginning in verse 15, Paul's writing, he says, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified." Verse 17, "But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. Look at verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Man, what we just read in those final verses in Galatians, oh, they're so powerful. Such powerful words. So powerful that one theologian actually described those words that we just read as capsule statements of some of the most significant truths of Christianity. Capsule statements. Huge statements. We cannot miss what Paul is writing here and saying here in this part of the letter, because, friends, if we miss what Paul's saying here, if it's just like, oh, it's so hot, I don't know if I'm ever going to make it, and we just are focused on how hot we are in August, and we miss what Paul's writing here, what's coming out of Paul's pen through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is on fire. It is so huge for us. And if we miss this, then friends, I'm telling you, we miss the whole of what is being talked about in Galatians. Let me just illustrate the critical importance of what Paul is saying here in these verses and how it is so critical for us to really dial our minds and our hearts into what we are looking at today in this part of Paul's letter. How many of you have seen the original Star Wars? I mean, A New Hope. Anybody? Yes, I've seen it. It's one of my favorites. Story that happened not just yesterday, but when? A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. It's a classic story of good versus evil. And while there are a lot of great characters, I love this original poster, the artwork, when it came out into the theaters. And there's all kinds of great heroes that are going to fight the dark side. I mean, you got guys like Han Solo and Chewbacca and Princess Leia, 3PO, R2-D2. You got Obi-Wan Kenobi over there. And as great as all those characters are, there's really one who kind of separates himself as the main character on the good side. It's this guy right here. And what's his name? Luke Skywalker. You got Luke Skywalker here. And then if there's one guy who's on the dark side that really kind of represents the bad side, the dark side, the evil side of the Force, it's this guy right here, and that is Darth Vader. And everybody's tried to talk like Darth Vader at some point in their life. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a second. Now there is this one scene in the sequel to Star Wars, the sequel to Star Wars A New Hope is what? It's The Empire Strikes Back. Many say that's the best of all of the Star Wars movie. I happen to agree. I remember being at the theater watching these, and my eyes are just coming out of my head. My jaw's dropping. I'm so engaged. But there is this one line that Darth Vader says in Empire Strikes Back that made me just fall out of my chair when I'm in the theater watching this. And you may know what I'm talking about. If you know the line that I'm talking about, would you say it in your best Darth Vader voice? And it's this one here: Luke, I am your father. And he reaches out that hand trying to make a connection with Luke. And I'm telling you, when Darth Vader said that, I just about lost it. I about fell out of my chair. And I said, I'm sure, the same thing that Luke said after that. No, that's not true. That's impossible. And I'm just like going, there's no way that can happen. How many of you remember that first time that you saw that movie, that moment? Man, I so do. And I'm telling you, if you're at the movie or you're watching that movie and you're kind of there and things are happening and you're like, you know, I'm going to slip out and run to the restroom right quick. If you were in the restroom when that happened and then you walked back in, you're totally lost. You missed the main underlying theme that so many of the other storylines would come back to in all of the other Star Wars movies. I mean, if you that was a bad time to go get a refill on the popcorn. If you missed Luke, I am your father. If you missed that, man, you missed it. Totally missed it. And in these verses, at the end of Galatians chapter 2, if we miss the significance of what Paul is saying here to the Galatian churches and subsequently to all followers of Jesus everywhere on down the line, then we may miss the magnitude of what Paul is talking about in this letter and how it applies and affects our lives today in 2020. And thus, we might just unnecessarily live our lives handcuffed and chained to our past if we miss out on the verdict of what Jesus did on the cross and what it means for our lives. And what it means is this: you are free. Would you say that with me again? You are free. You're free. So I want you to look back at one verse in particular for the next few moments with me. It's verse 16. Verse 16 is the essential message of Galatians. And I want you to notice there's an important word that is mentioned three different times. It's the word justified. Would you say this word with me? Justified. That is a critical, critical, critical word for us today. Justified in verse 16. Would you look at it with me? Paul says this: yet we know that a person is not justified. Underline that, circle that, highlight that. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So, we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be what? Justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be what? Say it with me. Justified. Justified. Verse 16 right here. It's the first time we see this term justified. It's also the first time that we see this term right here. Faith. Faith. The first time we see justified, the first time we see faith being brought forward as the means of salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, the reason that we showed that little video to begin this message a few moments ago in that courtroom scene is because I knew we were coming to verse 16 this morning. And that really began to set the stage for us in that word justified. Paul uses the word justified three times here in verse 16. And just for good measure, he throws it in again at one time in verse 17. That word justified is an interesting word in the original language. It's dikaiologo. Dikaiologo. If you wanted to spell it, it's D-I-K-A-I-O-L-O-G-O. Dikaiologo. It's a rich, rich word. Justify. Justify, it's a forensic term that's borrowed from the law courts, and it means to declare righteous, to declare innocent. Now, the opposite of to justify would be to condemn somebody or to pronounce guilty. Guilty. I love what biblical scholar James Montgomery Boyce said about this term justify. He said, such a term involves an objective standard. An objective standard. And since, don't miss this, and since righteousness is understood to be a unique characteristic of God, well, the standard must have a divine standard. You're going, whoa, okay, what now? What does that mean? What that means is that the standard for justice, the standard for justice can't be just what mere mortals like you and me think. It doesn't matter when it comes to a divine standard what a mortal has to say about it. It just is. It is a divine standard. And it doesn't matter what I think or what you think or what our culture thinks or what society thinks. It doesn't matter how mere mortals define justice or truth or whatever. The objective standard must be higher. It must be divine. And the person of Jesus, while fully human, is also fully God, fully divine. Thus, Jesus is our standard for justice and for righteousness and for truth. And the Word of God is the truth of God because of what it reminds us about its own nature in correlation to Jesus. You go, wait, what did you just say? Let me show you in God's Word. It's always better to just look in the Bible. In John chapter 1, let me show you what it says in verse 1 and then verse 14. It says this, in the beginning was the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says this, and the Word became flesh. That's why we celebrate at Christmas time. God coming into the world in the form of Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. What does that mean? That means that Jesus, the Word of God, made flesh, is full of grace and full of truth, our divine standard and justification is found in Jesus's perfect standard of righteousness. Rightness before God. You still with me? If you are, just nod. Hit the thumbs up online. Say, I'm with you. I'm with you. See, based on this standard of justice and being justified and being righteous, and based on what the Word of God says this about us mere mortals, we mere mortals. He said, all of us have sinned and fall short of that standard, fall short of the glory of God. Nobody's perfect except for Jesus. Everybody's messed up. Everybody's made mistakes. Everybody has sinned. Sin is anything we do, say, or think that God doesn't want us to do, say, or think. And it's His standard that sets the standard because it's divine. It's divine. And so Paul goes on in another part of his writings over in Romans chapter 3. Again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, look what Paul writes. Romans chapter 3, There's just something good and needed and necessary about reading God's word, particularly in days of uncertainty, because he is certain. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And we need to hold on to and anchor our lives to God's word, our divine standard. And this is what is true about you when you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. Look at this in Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. Now we know, it's good to know things, right? Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to whom? To God, the divine standard. Look at verse 20. For by works of the law, no human being will be what? Justified. Justified. By works of the law, no matter how good you are, how perfect you're trying to be, how much you're white knuckling it through to do all of the rules, no person will be justified in God's sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested, that's Christmas, that's Jesus being born in Bethlehem, God with skin on. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. Verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For whom? For all who believe. It's open to everybody. Jesus is not racist. He is for everyone who's been created in his image, which is every person who's breathing air. Everybody created in the image of God. This is so good. Watch this. Watch this. There is no distinction. Look at verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Nobody's without exception. I want to make sure that you are aware of something here. Some of you are getting ready to go back to school. Some of you just started school and you're going to English and you might be studying some grammar. I want to show you the greatest punctuation mark in all of history. It's this comma right there. Circle that comma at the end of verse 23 in your Bible. Highlight that. You go, what's the big deal about this comma? See, this comma means that's not the end of the thought. It means there's more coming. God hadn't stopped to stop speaking right here or coughing. Huge comma right here. More to the story right here. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, comma. But look at verse 24. And are what? Justified. There it is again. And are justified by Jesus' grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25 says this, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received. How? By faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had been passed over former sins. And verse 26 says this, it was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Man, that winds me up big time. And it can keep you from getting jammed up in your life. When you begin to wrap your head and your heart and your life around the truth that Jesus, the divine standard, because of what he did on the cross, justifies you, breaks you free from the law of sin and death. Friends, just like Star Wars has this running theme all throughout all of the different Star Wars movies, the whole saga about Darth Vader being Luke's father and all of the themes and the storylines kind of keep going back to that truth in that story. If we miss the importance of this word justification, if we miss justification, man, we miss the verdict of what happened when Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for all of our sins that enables us to live in and enjoy our freedom. Friends, then we miss one of the most important truths of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And it's this: you are free. You're free. That is such a huge truth. It's such a big truth that the great reformer Martin Luther said, if we lose the doctrine of justification, then all Christian doctrine is lost. That's how big a deal this is. Now, remember why it is that Paul is writing this letter to the Galatians to begin with. It's to refute false teaching, refute this group of religious Jewish leaders. We've called them the agitators. And what these agitators have said is that while it's important to believe that Jesus died on the cross, while that's a good thing to kind of rally around, if you really want to be saved, then you really need to become Jewish. And the way that you become Jewish, if you haven't been born Jewish, is you've got to keep all of the Jewish laws, all the Jewish rituals, all the Jewish customs, specifically the big one. You need to make sure if you're a male that you've been circumcised. And Paul says the same thing that Luke Skywalker said. No, that's not true. That's impossible. And the reason that it really is impossible is because of the truth of what Galatians 2, 20 and 21 says. Would you look at it again with me? Paul is writing, and he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Paul's saying, it's not about me doing something more than what Jesus has already done on the cross to justify me, to set me free. If that was the case, Paul said, Jesus never should have gone to the cross. He died for nothing if I had to add something to it. Remember this truth that we've been saying throughout this series? Jesus plus anything equals nothing, but Jesus plus nothing, it equals everything. It equals everything. And friends, part of that everything means that the verdict of my life and the verdict of your life, when you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and what Jesus and Jesus alone did on the cross, it means because I am justified, now therefore I am free. I'm free. You're free. We're free. Think about it with me and we'll be done. The cross of Jesus is what tips the scales of justice in a way that nothing else will. You can't be good enough to tip the scales of justice toward your freedom. You can't be smart enough to tip the scales of justice toward your freedom. You can't give enough money to tip those scales. You can't be a part of church enough to tip those scales. It doesn't matter who your daddy is, who your mama is, who your grandparents are. It does not matter who you're going to vote for. It doesn't matter what your grades are going to be in school this year. None of that matters when it comes to tipping the scales of justice that leads to your freedom. Friends, every single thing that matters in life when it comes to the justice of God goes straight back to what Jesus did on the cross and how you then respond to that sacrifice that he made. Faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. That alone justifies you, frees you, gives you a whole new identity. The old you is gone. The new you can now be experienced in total freedom. Your identity is in Christ. He has set you free to move forward in life as someone who's alive in him. And friends, the verdict is that you are free. You're free. You're free. And he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Would you just take a moment? I'm going to invite Kristen to come and just to play softly for a minute. Sometimes it's just really helpful and healthy to hear God's word preached and taught. And then just to kind of sit underneath that teaching for a moment and just go, God, what do you want me to walk away with today? What is it today that you're trying to say to me? Maybe what the Holy Spirit has been nudging you toward is the truth that nobody's holding you back. That stuff that happened in the past, it's got no hold on you anymore. Jesus took care of all of our sin at the cross. You're free. You're free. You're free. Who have you been listening to that's holding you back? Whatever voice, whoever that is, that's not the voice of truth. That old song says, the voice of truth tells me a different story. And the truth is, what Jesus did at the cross justifies you. That's the verdict. Where you live and jammed up and bound up and chained up, what hurts and habits and hang-ups have been shackling you? Jesus sets you free from that to walk in truth and to walk forward, to be who he's called you to be and do what he's created you to do. Don't shortchange your life. As the scripture says, for me to live is Christ. Are you really living? Has there ever been that time where you've put your faith, your hope, your trust in Jesus and him alone for salvation? Or have you just been kind of mentally agreeing? Thinking, yeah, that I've heard this, but you've never put your faith in Jesus. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've done that, the scriptures say, remember, God's divine standard says, all who call on my name will be saved. Saved from what? Sin, death, Satan, and hell. You're free to be who God created you to be. We can just kind of receive that, be reminded of that, step into that this week. You're free. You're free. You're free. The verdict is you're free. Nobody's going to retry that case. The cross settled it. It's finished. You're free. You're free. And if you'd like to make sure that you're under that verdict as well, I invite you to pray a simple but powerful prayer with me. I call it an ABC prayer. I'll invite you just to pray to the Lord and admit that He's the Savior, that you are the sinner. I invite you to pray a prayer of belief and just say, Jesus, I may not understand it all, but I believe in you. Help me in those places where I'm not sure on my belief. And then see to call. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you'd like to pray that and just slide yourself underneath the verdict of freedom, you can do that today. If you'd like to pray, why don't you just pray right where you're at, either out loud or whispered or in your heart and mind to the Lord. He hears you. And maybe you could pray a prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I need you. I need your truth. I need your grace. Jesus, I admit, I'm a sinner. You're the Savior. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe what you did at the cross rescues me, justifies me, makes me free. And Jesus, I call on your name. Would you forgive me of my sin? Would you live in me by your Spirit? Would you give me a fresh start? I want to follow you in freedom. I love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.